Turning tonight to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for your goodness to us. We thank you for the rain that you gave to us this week and for the blessing that it was, and we pray that you might continue to bless us with these showers. We pray that you would help us now as we look into your word, that you might help us to understand something from it that would be a blessing to us tonight, that would cause us to rejoice, that would cause us to understand something of the great privilege and the great responsibility that we have as we live in this country. The great responsibility that we have as those who enjoy freedom to give out your word, freedom to meet in your name, freedom to serve you. I pray that you would help us to this end as we look into your word tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday night, as we looked at these verses, we focused primarily on the 8th verse. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. And we talked about those words in what I believe is the primary sense in which they're given, and that is as they regard the salvation of sinners like me and like you. But there was another thought that I wanted to mention to you last week in thinking about this verse, using the law lawfully. And we didn't have time to get to it, as I mentioned to you from time to time in preaching. Sometimes you get to a spot where you're kind of out of time and you got something else you want to say and another thought or two, and you just don't really have time to get it all in. So tonight we want to come back for a minute and think about using the law lawfully. And I'd like for us to think about another way in which the law can be used lawfully and how it has been used lawfully. And I'll go ahead and tell you that I'm going to bore you tonight. And I don't say that as a way of an apology. It's just I say it as a way of warning. Because we're going to think about some things that fall into the category of history. And those are, history is always seemingly a very boring thing to talk about. When George Washington was inaugurated as the first president of this country, April 30th, 1789, he did something as he took the oath of office that is very interesting. He had a Bible there because he wanted to take the oath of office as prescribed in the Constitution with his hand on the Bible. But he asked that the Bible be open to a particular passage. And it's that passage that I find very interesting. I'd like for us to turn to the passage that he requested. Interestingly enough, it's Deuteronomy chapter 28. We looked at this scripture briefly this morning as we were wanted to see the prophecy as the Lord told the children of Israel the cursings that would be upon them if they forsook His law. And we saw that one of the prophecies, one of the consequences of that nation forsaking the law of God would be being besieged by their enemies, and in that siege, God said that they would eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and daughters, as we saw that come to pass in 2 Kings chapter 6. But we're here tonight for a little different reason. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto Himself, as He has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in His season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. George Washington believed, it would seem, in that he asked, as he took the oath of office to become the first president of the United States, it would seem that he believed that this passage of Scripture could apply not just to Israel, but to the United States of America. By placing his hand and taking the oath of office on this passage, at the very founding of this nation, this man was acknowledging, and I believe as much as was within him, as the leader of this country, he was committing this nation to observe and to do all the commandments of God, to hearken unto the voice of the Lord. So we see there in verse 13, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. George Washington was claiming God's promise of blessing for obedience to the law of God. And at the same time, I'm sure that his reading of this passage in his private reading of the Word of God did not stop at verse 14. And so at the same time, and in that same sense of reverence, he was no doubt acknowledging the consequences that this nation would face if we were disobedient to the commandments of God, if we did not hearken unto the voice of the Lord. And as you read down through these verses, I believe you can see the United States of America. God has poured out the blessings of these verses on this nation. I don't see how you can read them and come to any other conclusion. George Washington and the founding fathers of this nation used the law lawfully. And I'll give you some examples. We're talking about George Washington, one of the, probably the most dominating aspect of Washington, D.C. is the monument that was erected to honor this man. The cornerstone for it was laid in 1848. And I'm not sure that they even know where that cornerstone is today exactly. But there were some things placed in that cornerstone that are very interesting. A Bible was placed in there. A copy of the Declaration of Independence. A copy of the Constitution. I wonder why they would do that. I think they got the idea from the Word of God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 31 for just a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And notice verse 24. And it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be therefore a witness against thee. God told, or rather Moses told the children of Israel to take a copy of the law this book of the law, to take a copy of the Word of God and put it into the ark. And he wanted it put there as a witness against thee. Hebrews chapter 9, if you want to turn there, you can. But Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 4 that as he's talking about the Ark of the Covenant, he says, well, reading Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 1, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Three things in the Ark of the Covenant. The golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, the tables of the covenant. The law of God. I think it's interesting that in the cornerstone of the Washington Monument, you have three things. A Bible. As a witness against us. A witness against us. A witness of the measure of our rebellion. A witness as a measure of the stiffness and the hardness of our neck against the Word of God. A Bible, a copy of the Declaration of Independence. A copy of the Constitution. A principle that we find in the Word of God. The Washington Monument is full of the law of God. It's carved into the blocks. I'll read you some of the words that are carved in it. Holiness to the Lord. Search the Scriptures. The memory of the just is blessed. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. On the capstone of the Washington Monument, there are two Latin words, Laus Deo. Praise be to God is what that means. And it's inscribed on the eastern side. Every morning when the sun hits that particular inscription, the only eyes that see that are the eyes of God Himself. They're words of praise to Him. That is using the law lawfully. When I was about 12 years old, I think it was 1961, I heard that. I was on the safety patrol. And what the safety patrol did is we went out every morning to several different crossings, road crossings. And we had this great metal pole with a big red stop sign on it. And we stood there when kids would be coming to come to school. We would walk out into the middle of the road and put out our stop sign and hope that the cars would stop, so they wouldn't hit us and the other little kids that were trying to get across. And you earn points for every day that you came, and bonus points. And anyway, they added up the points at the end of the year. And if you had 1,000 points or whatever it is, they brought us all in the auditorium. They gave us all a letter, and it said that we were invited to go to Washington. And so we made that trip. And what was interesting is that in 1961, you could walk up the Washington Monument. I couldn't do it now, but it wasn't so bad then. But all the way up, there were these inscriptions. On every landing, there were these pictures, and there was these Bible verses, the words that I've read to you tonight, just a few of the words. For many years, the stairway up the Washington Monument has been closed. Part of that time, it was closed for renovation. I hope they didn't renovate the words from the law of God off of the different stones in the landings. But even today, the stairs are not open to the public. I was talking to Mr. Taylor this morning because they go with the seniors, take the seniors every year to Washington. I was asking him about that. And you can walk up, but you have to make appointment. It's a guided sort of tour. It's not something that's open to the general public. And I wonder if the restriction, just wondering, but you wonder if the restrictions, the closing of the stairs, and then the restrictions upon the number of people that can go up those stairs is a way of trying to hide what is very obviously written throughout that monument. If that's the case, that is using the law of God unlawfully. In the Capitol building, you'll find all sorts of references to the Lord. You'll find inscribed the words from America the Beautiful, "America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea." You'll find the words, "In God we trust." You'll find Latin words that mean God has favored our undertakings. You'll find the words, "What hath God wrought?" Those were the first words that were sent over the telegraph by Samuel Morse. But I'll tell you where he got those words. He got them from Numbers chapter 23 and verse 23. "What hath God wrought?" That is using the law lawfully. If you go to the Supreme Court building, it was built, or it was actually completed in 1935. So in a way, it's surprising what you'll find in there from the aspect of the Bible, at least. You'll find Moses with the Ten Commandments. And you'll find that inside the courtroom. You'll find Moses and the Ten Commandments over the chair of the Chief Justice. You'll find it on the bronze doors of the court. That is using the law lawfully. If you go to the Library of Congress, you'll find that there are two items that are on permanent display there. Both of them, interestingly enough, are Bibles. One is the giant Bible of Mainz. It's a handwritten copy of the Bible. The other is the Gutenberg Bible. Sometimes I don't think we stop and realize what a tremendous blessing it was for the printing press to be invented. It took years to make a copy of the Bible. We have no conception of that today. We want to make a copy of something, we just go to the copy machine, pop it in, make as many as we want. It wasn't like that. And we went from being able to, in the course of years, to make a copy of the Bible, to being able to make hundreds of copies in a year. And that disseminated the Word of God in Europe at a time when things were very dark. Became the foundation of the Renaissance. The Word of God became the foundation of bringing man out of the Dark Ages. That's using the law lawfully. On the walls and on the ceiling of the Library of Congress, you'll find these Bible verses. John 1:5, "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Micah 6:8, what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. You'll find a bronze statue in the Library of Congress of Moses holding the Ten Commandments. That is using the law lawfully. Folks, the founders of this nation used the law lawfully to honor the God of heaven. The God of heaven who gave us and gives us life and liberty. They used the law lawfully to proclaim and to acknowledge not only their dependence, but this nation's dependence on the God of heaven for continued freedom and continued blessing. To acknowledge that there is no other source of freedom and blessing. This nation has left its foundation. This nation tonight is using the law unlawfully to expel God, to expel His Word as completely as they possibly can from the public square. We have the blessing here at Calvary Christian School of being able to have a copy of the Ten Commandments in every classroom. Can't do that in the public schools. The Supreme Court said that the students might read it, pay attention to it, obey it. We can't have that. I'd like for you to turn back again to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Because, and I would encourage you to read through this chapter. It's a long chapter, verse-wise. It's got 68 verses in it. I thought about reading it to you tonight, but in a way that would be like asking you to turn to Psalm 119 and reading that to you, and I didn't want to do that. But in your personal devotions this week, take a day or two and read through these verses. But I wanted to turn back here because I think that we are living now not in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. I believe there was a time when we were living there in this nation. And I believe that wealth of blessing that has been deposited in the bank of God's blessing, the bank of heaven, if you will, we've been drawing from those blessings for years and years and years, putting nothing back in. And I believe now that we are shifting in this nation from verses 1 through 14 to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. Notice, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. And on and on and on through the rest of this chapter. I believe that's where we are living, or where we're beginning to live in this nation. While there's still time, while it's called today, we need to stand for the truth. We need to preach this word, this law, this commandment. Use it lawfully to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those who are lost. And serve the Lord while we still can. Redeem the time while we still can. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we pray that you might take these few thoughts and as we think about using the law lawfully and using the law unlawfully. And take these few thoughts and use them to speak to our hearts. We thank you for this country, for the men that you raised up now hundreds of years ago, who laid a foundation that we're still enjoying today, even as we eat away at it, chip away at it, through our disobedience and our stubbornness and our rebellion against you. We confess our sin to you tonight as individuals, as a people, as a nation, and ask that you might continue to show mercy upon this nation, to give us a little space of time to preach your word, to train up our children in the way that they should go. And in that regard, we ask you to bless in a special way the first day of school tomorrow, the beginning of another year of Calvary Christian School. What a miracle that you've performed for all of these years in keeping this school open and providing teachers and students and people to work in the office and people to work in the daycare and people to work in the lunchroom and people to maintain the buildings and do the work. We thank you for that great miracle, and we pray that you would continue to lay upon the hearts of your people to support this work, not only through their work, but especially through their prayers. The battle will begin in the morning, and we pray that you would prepare the hearts not only of those who will be here working, but the hearts of every person who comes to this church. Stir us up to pray and to commit this school year to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.